Hi, Angela, and welcome to the Health After 30 podcast. I am really excited to have you on the show today because I have to be honest, you are the first professional bodybuilder I think that I've ever spoken with, and specifically ever spoken with when it comes to health. So thank you so much for being here today.
My God, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to learn about what you can kind of bring to the table for women and women's health. And I think where I'd like to start with all of this, because you have, you know, natural bodybuilding, extensive competition experience. I guess I'd like to know, what has been the biggest perspective shifts that you've had in the health and fitness space? Because we have ideas of what health and fitness is, but I think specifically when you're competing and when health and fitness is then your profession as a professional athlete, you might have different nuances that come to it. So I'd just like to kind of start the conversation with, yeah, what is your perspective on health and fitness?
And through bodybuilding and competing, it totally shifted. What I did not know was how capable women are and how strong women are. And I say women, it's not only me. I was the first one, to be honest with you. I tried it on, basically. Like, I was my first client, so to speak. But now that I work with so many women, and it shows me over and over and over again how the basically competitive sport transforms into lifestyle habits. And there are, of course, differences, but you can adapt so many things you learn from competing into a healthy lifestyle, which all benefits you.
Yeah. And for example, what would you say is the biggest takeaway that you've taken away from competitive bodybuilding?
So interestingly, when you compete, you always focus a lot on leanness and getting rid of body fat. And the approach, though, is so different. In general, we are so focused on the scale, on a number on the scale, and maybe if we have some tools on body fat percentages. What we are not focusing on, and this is basically the wrong approach, why we struggle so much with it, we are not focusing on healthy muscle tissue. Bodybuilding, you focus on building muscle. You're focusing on healthy muscle tissue to create the body you want, change your body composition, and then the fat loss comes with it. That's just a byproduct, basically. So shifting that mindset and not being so focused on a number on the scale and a body fat percentage, and actually saying, okay, I want to build healthy muscle, and by doing that, I'm changing my body fat. That was like a key ingredient, or it's an important part what women need to understand.
Like the key part to it, because, you know, in the health and fitness industry, we're bombarded. Weight loss, fat this, burning that, this and that. But never has anyone really articulated it to, like you did just then, that it's not even about the fat. It's about if we focus on our muscle composition, that will just naturally happen. And weight loss is a very interesting one because it's huge. And I also, like, I promote also feel good weight in a sustainable way, in different ways in which you can do that. So I'm also very interested to kind of tuck into that with you as well. But when we think about our muscle composition, because for most of us who don't compete, you know, like, we walk, we do yoga, you know, we maybe go to the gym. How can we start focusing on muscle? Well, what do we do to, I guess, bring muscle composition to our main focus?
Oh, very good question. So in general, like I always say, like sitting is the new smoking. Like sitting is so bad for us and it causes so many issues. And what we do is we destroy and lose healthy muscle tissue. And the muscle is the important key because this is, well, first of all, it's a glucose sponge, right? So whatever we eat, it has to go somewhere. It's energy. We are eating to get energy. But if we don't have healthy tissue where it can go, Well, guess what happens? It goes to body fat.
It stores as body fat. Health
is such a big, big key. Now, if somebody never trained in their life, just going for a walk and extending the walk, I'm happy. I always, always, always emphasize weightlifting, because if you say, where do I get the most bang for my buck? Mm. Where do you see the fastest results? It is the weightlifting thing. Now, women are always afraid to bulk up, to get massive. And, the only thing I can say is, if you gain too fast muscle tissue, good for you. Congratulations. That is amazing. And if it's too much for you, just lift less.
Mm-hmm. You can change. Your body's adaptable. It will work as much as it gets.
Bodybuilding is like art. People paint pictures, I sculpture bodies, and everybody can do this. You can always tweak your workout. And this is such a fascinating, playground. And there are no limitations. So don't be afraid of lifting heavy weights. And I want you first to get used to the movement, to have the correct form. I mean, you have to create neural pathways, brain, like mind-muscle connection. I'm not throwing heavy weights at you and say, lift it. We go step by step and build it up. But interestingly, I have clients, I mean, think about it. They are stuck on their 5-pound dumbbells or like whatever, 2 kilos or 5 kilos max, and they're not going up. And then the other day I had a client and I said to her, you have 2 kids, right? And she said, yeah. So do you know how much they weigh? She said, oh, yeah, of course, 35 pounds.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I'm like, do you lift them up? Of course I do. I'm like, here you go. It's time to switch from 5-pound dumbbells to a heavyweight because you can lift up your kids. Yeah. So there is you need to just trust yourself a little bit and have an understanding what weights are. They're just intimidating at the beginning, what I see with my client. But when women get like familiarity and the trust that they know what they're capable of, that was what I was saying, the self-esteem just goes up and they change so quickly and they get so many good results. And what you also get, and this is a big part, and oh my God, I hear you and I totally like understand where you're coming from. I want my clients to have food freedom and this constant battle. And with the calories and all those crazy diets. And sometimes I feel like I'm always debunking. I'm like, okay, we got to stop this. We got to stop craziness. We got to just have whole foods and have some peace around it. But again, there is this battle. If you don't have the healthy muscle tissue, what is happening? Like I said, for example, you eat, whatever it is, it turns into glucose. We talk about the carbs, right? That's always the big... I have no problems with carbs because if you have healthy muscle, what happens is the glucose, so you digest the food, the glucose is in your bloodstream. You release insulin, right? Mm. Insulin is the hormone what opens the cells to get the glucose out of the bloodstream and into your cells. Now, if you have damaged or not enough cells, the insulin doesn't work. This is the first sign of insulin resistance. And I see so many women, especially in their midlife, battling that because they never took care of their muscle health. So now we have this going on. The blood sugar goes back to the liver, spills over, and creates this visceral fat, the dangerous one.
Yeah, that kind of is around the mid area.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what, and how many times have you heard, I don't understand. All of a sudden, in my 40s, I gained that weight in my body. But that is an indication that you don't have healthy muscle tissue. And that is the first thing you should start doing, getting the movement in, getting the strength training in, and fixing that to be able to get the glucose out and get the metabolism going. Yeah. So that's one big key.
If you're like most people who tune into the Health After 30 podcast, you know that good health and quality of life go hand in hand. It's beyond our lifespan, but rather our health span that we need to focus on. Aging naturally, longevity, getting into old age, and keeping up the things that we love should be a priority. Please meet Kimberly Rebecca. She's a naturopathic doctor who uses peptide bioregulators as well as a longevity protocol to help enhance energy, get that mental clarity good, and balance your hormones into old age. Please follow any of the links below to get in touch with her and don't miss a chance to work with her today. Yeah, the importance of our muscle, because you can be eating well, you can be moving, maybe, yeah, using your 2 kilo gut dumbbells and doing a small walk. But if you're not having that muscle, if the muscle's not growing, if the muscle's not being productive and being used in the right way, then the processes aren't going on in our body correctly.
Correct. And what happens too, just think about it, sarcopenia starts in our 30s. So the loss of muscle in our body. So slowly but surely you are going to lose muscle as you age. And we want to work against this.
Mm. And how do we work against this? How can we start working against that? Because, I mean, health after 30, the reason why I kind of made this podcast was because so many people, I saw it in my friends' groups and with my clients, myself, you get to 30 and you can't do the old tricks that you used to be able to do in your 20s.
Yep.
They don't really work anymore.
You get away in your 20s with a lot because the body is able, for example, to trigger muscle protein synthesis with way less protein.
Than
you get older. You get basically anabolic resistant as you age. So the earlier you start with lifting weights and having a clean diet, the better you're off. There is no reason though that you ever can say it's too late because the body is amazing in adapting and improving. So what you can do is, of course, you want to work out, and that helps you to work against anabolic resistance. So by working the muscle, it actually tells your body, hey, I need to get my metabolism going. I need to build the muscle, because what you want to do in your workouts is progress. You want to increase. Yeah. You want to improve. You want to challenge your body always a little bit more so you see an improvement. And then what goes hand in hand is the right protein intake. Interestingly, the older we get, it's not that we can eat more, but the macros change. So your protein intake needs to be a little bit higher the older you get, just to trigger muscle protein synthesis. So you can actually use the protein you're eating as a building block.
So our macros being the carbohydrates, the fats, and the protein. So we're kind of shifting these around so that protein is... Would you say more than our carbohydrate intake? Obviously more than our fat. You know, we don't need so much fat, but yeah.
Interesting question. So in general, I cannot say it because everybody is different.
It's different.
Depending on your metabolism, how insulin resistant you are, how much work you put in. But what is very, very important is I like to have my clients at 1 gram of protein per pound of ideal body weight. If you are 120 pounds ideal body weight, not what you weigh right now, where you are ideally, then it's 120 grams of protein per day. I like it very simple. So it's 3 meals.
Mm-hmm.
You have 40 grams per meal, which is a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And more as we age. So when we go from, say, 30 into our 40s, into our 50s, to that perimenopausal phase, is it then changing more and more as we age?
Yes, but it's smaller increments. I mean, it's not that you all of a sudden have like per meal 100 grams of protein, but maybe you shift from 40 grams to 45 grams a little bit. But yeah, you do. You're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
And the quality of the protein is super important.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I wanted to talk about this because sometimes when we hear protein, it's like protein bars and protein powders. And of course, that is a way to get protein into your diet. But when you're making sure you're getting it at every meal throughout the day, what's a good, good quality protein. What are your top three?
Top three. Oh, I'm looking at the amino acid profiles. So literally like what is the best? And the top of the top is actually venison or beef or rice. Mm. So they're true, for, in my eyes, true superfoods because they have so many other things in them.
Mm.
For example, we don't want to talk about it, but it's L-carnitine. Men have so much more creatine. L-carnitine as well, that helps you to metabolize body fat. But the creatine in beef, for example, because, well, men eat more beef, they actually have more creatine in their bodies. And I always like women to supplement with creatine, especially when they get older, to have the muscle quality and the good workouts. In meat.
Meat, venison, yeah.
For example, of course, seafood, all kinds of fish, egg, of course. Dairy products are good. Plant-based proteins are good. But what is with the plant-based? Is this a huge movement right now? And I was plant-based for 8 years.
While you were also competing, or was that?
Well, that was after competing, and I tried being actually raw vegan.
Mm-hmm.
For 3 years, I did a raw vegan chef certification just to learn how to prep food.
Yeah. All you're doing is prepping food when you're raw vegan. I've also been there.
From sprouting to fermenting to making a little cracker in a dehydrator. I've been there and done it. Juicing. Oh, yes. Done that too. And so I went through the ringer and I saw my body changing. So what happens is, and this is a little bit upsetting, if you buy something in a grocery store and you see the nutritional information, it's interesting. You see the fat and you see they tell you saturated fat, unsaturated fat, trans fats. You look at the carbs. They tell you the whole amount of carbs, then how much fiber is in it, how much sugar, how much added sugar. And then you come to the protein and it just says protein.
Protein. They don't break it down. I never thought about that. Like all the amino acids, is it a full is it a complete protein?
Exactly. Ah. Huge. So yeah. What happens with plant-based proteins, they're not complete.
Mm.
You always have to combine different plant protein sources to make it a complete protein, and you're going to be fine. What happened with me, though, just to get the amount of protein, I had to eat so many calories that was devastating for me. I'm like, whoa, I can't even get there. Because, for example, you need the amino acid leucine to trigger muscle protein synthesis. And in a meal, it should be 3 to 5 grams of leucine to get the result of muscle health. Mm. And in every animal protein, even in whey protein, in a protein powder, so to speak, it's there. And it's not. So if you look at, let's talk about protein powders. If you look at protein powders, so difficult to find a good quality. This is always like if somebody is in a time crunch and really has no other option, I use protein powders, but I'm very, very strict with resource or researching the quality.
Yeah, picky with where and who you're going with and where it's coming from.
Absolutely. And if it comes to plant-based protein powders, you always want a protein powder which has, for example, rice, pea, and hemp protein in it. So a combination. So you have a complete protein powder.
Yeah.
But that would work. Now, if it comes to a meal and like, let's say it's plant-based and you just use one source, I always like to have a branched chain amino acids with the meal just to make it complete and have
a supplement.
Yes.
Yeah, to make sure it's there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wonderful. So I wanted to ask firstly, where can people find you if they also understand that they need to start putting more importance onto their muscles?
Yeah, you find me on social media as Health Coach Angela, and the name of my company is House of Shape. So if you go to House of Shape, that's where you find me. And I have a Facebook group where, again, for me, support is very important, and that's where you find me. You can ask me questions. And in my community, I have wonderful women, and we help each other to like share recipes, or just sometimes you have to hear, hey, you can do it. Let's go.
Yeah, you do. Absolutely. Because sometimes doing it by yourself, you know, you have your up days, you have your down days, and, you know, everyone's there. Everyone's been there. And maybe, you know, they're out of there, and just to hear, okay, come on, Let's keep going. Let's keep doing this together. That's actually, it's so important to have that.
I agree. Yeah.
And if there's one thing, and I don't like to say one thing, but I always end up saying if there's one thing, but not one thing, but I guess if people are going to finish listening now, what would you like them to know? If they can, finish this episode, what would you like to impart with them?
Yeah, I wish that they just get started to improve their life.
Start today.
Mm-hmm.
I feel motivated to start today. I do, honestly.
Yes.
And I know how important it is.
Absolutely.
It's just the actual doing of it and making it that routine.
Yeah. And it's not something complicated, not something magical or,
you don't need a place for it. You can do it at your home. You can do it in the park.
I train.
It doesn't matter what you're wearing.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I train my clients. They're still in their pajamas.
Yeah, beautiful. Absolutely. Yeah. That's low-key, high quality.
That's right.
Angela, thank you so much for being here today. I feel inspired. I feel empowered. And I hope everyone who's listening is also feel the same.
Well, thank you for having me. It was wonderful.
The information provided in the Health After 30 podcast is for general information purposes only and should not be considered as medical advice. It's not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or health condition. Always consult with your qualified healthcare professional before making any decisions related to your health or before starting a new treatment or health regime.